Chapter 58. A Glorious Future is Before Us. More than 18 centuries have passed since the apostles rested from their labors, but the history of their sacrifices for Christ is still among the most precious treasures of the Church. As these messengers of the cross went forth to proclaim the gospel, there was such a revelation of the glory of God as had never before been witnessed. To every nation was the gospel carried in a single generation. At the beginning, some of the apostles were unlearned men, but under the instruction of their master, they gained a preparation for the great work committed to them. Grace and truth reigned in their hearts, and self was lost sight of. How closely they stood by the side of God and bound their personal honor to His throne. Any attack made on the gospel was as if cutting deep into their souls, and with every power they battled for the cause of Christ. They expected much, and they attempted much. Their understanding of truth and their power to withstand opposition were proportionate to their conformity to God's will. Jesus was the theme of every discourse. As they proclaimed Christ, their words moved hearts, and multitudes who had reviled the Savior's name now confessed themselves disciples of the crucified. The apostles encountered hardship, grief, calumny, and persecution, but they rejoiced that they were called to suffer for Christ. They were willing to spend and be spent, and the grace of heaven was revealed in the conquests they achieved for Christ. On the foundation that Christ had laid, the apostles built the church. Peter says, "Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2, verse 4, 5, RSV. In the quarry of the Jewish and the Gentile world, the apostles labored, bringing out stones to lay on the foundation. Paul said, "You are, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 21, RSV. "I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, 11, RSV. The apostles built upon the rock of ages. To this foundation they brought the stones that they quarried from the world. Their work was made exceedingly difficult by the enemies of Christ. They had to contend against bigotry, prejudice, and hatred. Kings and governors, priests and rulers sought to destroy the temple of God. But faithful men carried the work forward, and the structure grew, beautiful and symmetrical. At times, the workmen were almost blinded by the mists of superstition around them, or were almost overpowered by the violence of their opponents. But with faith and courage, they pressed on. One after another, the builders fell. Stephen was stoned. James was slain by the sword. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. John was exiled. Yet the church grew. New workers took the place of those who fell, and stone after stone was added to the building. Centuries of fierce persecution followed, but always there were men who counted the building of God's temple dearer than life itself. The enemy left nothing undone to stop the work committed to the Lord's builders. But God raised up workers who ably defended the faith. Like the apostles, many fell at their post, but the building of the temple went steadily forward. The Waldenses, John Wycliffe, Huss, and Jerome, Martin Luther and Zwingli, Cranmer, Latimer, Knox, the Huguenots, John and Charles Wesley, and a host of others, brought to the foundation material that will endure throughout eternity. And those who have so nobly promoted the circulation of God's Word and in heathen lands have prepared the way for the last great message. These also have helped to rear the structure. We may look back through the centuries and see the living stones of which God's temple is composed, gleaming like jets of light through the darkness. Throughout eternity, these precious jewels will shine with increasing luster, revealing the contrast between the gold of truth and the dross of error. How we help the building.
Paul, the other apostles, and all the righteous since them have acted their part in building the temple. But the structure is not yet complete. We who are living in this age are to bring to the foundation material that will stand the test of fire, gold, silver, and precious stones. To those who thus build for God, Paul speaks words of encouragement. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14-15, RSV. The Christian who faithfully presents the word of life is bringing to the foundation material that will endure. And in the kingdom, he will be honored as a wise builder. As Christ sent forth his disciples, so today he sends the members of his church. If they will make God their strength, they shall not labor in vain. God said to Jeremiah, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go." Then the Lord touched his servant's mouth, saying, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah 1, verse 7, 9, RSV. And he bids us go forth to speak the words he gives us, feeling his holy touch on our lips. There is nothing that the Savior desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and his character. The church is God's agency for the proclamation of truth, and if she is loyal to him, obedient to all his commandments, there is no power that can stand against her. Zeal for God and his cause moved the disciples to witness to the gospel with mighty power. Should not a like zeal fire our hearts with a determination to tell the story of Christ and him crucified? It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the Savior. Nothing can stop the triumph of truth. If the church will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, withdrawing from all allegiance with the world, there is before her the dawn of a glorious day. Truth, passing by those who reject it, will triumph. When the message of God meets opposition, he gives it additional force. Endowed with divine energy, it will cut its way through the strongest barriers and triumph over every obstacle. What sustained the Son of God during his life of toil and sacrifice? Looking into eternity, he beheld the happiness of those who through his humiliation had received pardon and everlasting life. We may have a vision of the future, the blessedness of heaven. By faith, we may stand on the threshold of the eternal city and hear the gracious welcome given those who in this life cooperate with Christ. As the words are spoken, "Come, ye blessed of my Father," they cast their crowns at the feet of the Redeemer, exclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Matthew 25, verse 34. Revelation 5, verse 12. Then the redeemed greet those who led them to the Savior, and all unite in praising Him who died that human beings might have the life that measures with the life of God. The conflict is over. Songs of victory fill all heaven. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night within His temple. And He who sits upon the throne will shelter them with His presence. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7, verse 14 to 17, RSV.